Hallelujah. The word's good. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Go with me to James chapter 3. You all knew that, right? You didn't want to be that person. Totally kidding. Just mess with you. Praise God. Hallelujah. God's good, isn't he?
Amen.
Amen. We're so blessed. Go to James chapter 3 and verse 2. Hallelujah. The word is so good. We say, why do you say that every week? Because you need to know that the word's good. Amen. Everybody say this. Say, the Bible is God speaking to me. Amen. And it is. Hallelujah. He loves us so much. Father, help us tonight. Lord, I can't tell you. It's hard for me to say in words, Father, what my heart is really saying. But Lord, it's so humbling to be here, to be able to stand before such precious people, to minister your word. Father, we're just so grateful. We're just so thankful for the opportunity to be gathered together as a family, a spiritual family that we're going to spend the rest of eternity with, around your word, Father, the GPS of our lives, the lamp of our lives that helps us get to places we need to go. Father, this is not about the pastor. This is not about the name on the building. This is about you. So help us tonight. Speak through me that my words would not be my own, but that of the Holy Ghost. And Father, I thank you. I will speak as the oracles of God because that's your plan. And Father, I thank you. I will speak with boldness and utterance because that's your plan. And I thank you, lives will be touched. Hearts will be touched tonight. And Father, we'll get a word from heaven that will be so important going forward in our lives that will just be so life-changing. We expect that, Father. We just turn our expectation up to a new level. And we thank you for it, Father. We just praise you for it. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. James chapter 3 and verse 2. The last Wednesday service that we had, we talked about this a little bit, and I'm just going to bring it up because we're going to go a little bit further with something that the Lord put on my spirit. He says, for in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man and able to also bridle or control the whole body. I don't go with the Message Bible a lot, but the Message Bible says here that a person that can control what they say is in perfect control of their life. Now, that only fits if the rest of the context of the scriptures bear that out. Well, we see that it does because he said, behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. So the Bible tells us in verse 3 that a bit can control the whole horse. Amen? And then he says in verse 4, behold also the ships, which though they be so great and are driven of fierce winds, yet they are turned about with a very small helm, wheresoever the governor or the captain listeth or wants to go. So he also says that the small helm, in comparison to the size of a ship, can control the whole ship. Well, then he goes on in verse 5, and verse 5 will prove to us that verse 2, when it said, whoever can control their mouth or their words is in perfect control of their life, because verse 5 says, even so the tongue is a little member, boasts great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. So he says the tongue is likened to the bit, which what does the bit do? Controls the whole horse. The Bible says the tongue is likened to the helm, which does what? Controls the whole ship. Well, what does the tongue do? It controls your whole life. It sets the course of your life, doesn't it? We saw that. We saw, we don't need to turn there, but we saw in Proverbs 18:21 that the Bible says death and life are in the power of the tongue. You can't get more two opposite things of the spectrum than death and life. And notice the tongue is the controller of death and life. You could say it this way, prosperity and poverty are in the power of the tongue. You could say it this way, health or sickness is in the power of the tongue. And you could fill whatever in there for your life, for the whatever promises of God there are, and whatever would be the opposite of that promise, are controlled by the tongue. And so the Bible says that the tongue is like a bit. The Bible says the tongue is like a helm that controls the ship. And we said this that past service that we had, and I hope you did it. If you didn't, start tonight. We said we're going to chart a new course with our lives. Amen? Because what we're saying today is where we're going to end up in our tomorrows, right? And too many people in the body of Christ are going around saying it's too hard. It never works for me. I never have enough. It happens for other people, and I'm always lacking. I'm always struggling. I'm always sick. Well, that's the course you're charting for your life. Instead, we ought to be saying, knowing that our tongue's controlling where we're going, I'm going into prosperity. I'm going into healing. Things are going to be different for me. The rest of 2017 is going to be different for me, and 2018 will be my best year yet. I'm going to experience in the rest of my life greater prosperity than I've ever had before. I'm going to experience greater health in the rest of my life than I ever have before. My kids are going to start serving the Lord, praise God. That's the kind of things we ought to be saying. Why? Because that's where our tongues are going to take us, to those places. Words are powerful. So we saw that, praise God. So we're charting a course with our words. If you haven't started, you need to start. Because remember over there in Mark 11, 23, Jesus said you'll have what you say. You got to say it to have it. He talked about a mountain. You got to say it to have it. You got to say it to move it, praise God. And if you're not saying anything, you know, it's not just enough to make sure you're not saying the wrong things. You got to make sure that you're saying the right things. Just being quiet doesn't move the mountain. Just being quiet doesn't take you to where you need to go. Every day you need to be speaking. I told you I have a confession list on this iPad. Every day I'm praying over my children, speaking where their lives are going to go. Why? They don't have the faith to get there on their own. Someday they'll grow up and they'll have to use their own faith when they're older. But for right now, I'm speaking that. I'm speaking over financial things. I'm speaking over my personal life. I'm speaking over my family. I'm speaking over the church. Why? There's places I want to get to. Amen? Hallelujah. And we saw that the tongue is the pen that fills in the check of faith, which is always blank. God said all things are possible if you have faith. So God is our, he's the bank account holder, and the resources are unlimited. Whatever you need, God has it in the account. But he gives you a check, and he says, fill it out. Well, what kind of checks have your tongue been writing? Because whatever checks you write, that's what's going to be cashed. And so that's why we want to make sure we say the right things. And so confession is huge. It is so important that we're saying the right things. God has designated in his word that words are powerful. And we ought to just accept the fact of what God says, right? Amen. You know, one of the criticisms sometimes you'll get from people, and a lot of times this comes from either offended people or people that are in the world that you're trying to get one to the Lord. They'll say, well, you can say one thing, and another preacher can say another thing, and who knows what's right? Well, the way we know what's right is the manual tells us what's right. That'd be like someone saying, hey, the manual says to put 10W30 oil in whatever that would go in. I don't even know what that would go in. But I know 10W30 is a real oil. Isn't it? Whatever it goes in, I don't know, but I know it goes into something. And whatever that manual have that it goes into, that'd be like someone saying, well, you could say 10W30 goes in there, but someone might say 10W40 or whatever different thing. The manual says it. The manual's clear that our words have power. By your words, you're justified. Death and life, you'll have what you say. Your words like the bit. Your words like the helm. We just need to accept it and then go forward in the right direction. Amen? Hallelujah. Praise God. But here's the thing that we need to make sure in this camp, because, you know, we're blessed to have come up under somebody like, now you might not have sat directly under him, but everything that we receive really is a result of the revelation and the things that Brother Hagin taught, because he was Pastor Michael's spiritual dad, and then Pastor Michael imparted things unto me. And, you know, I remember one minister saying this, and I'll never forget it. He said when new things would come along in the body of Christ, he said, I'd always bring it back to what Brother Hagin said. Not because we magnify Brother Hagin, but the guy stuck with the word. He was a man of the Bible, amen? And so we're so thankful that he got that revelation laying on that sick bed, that deathbed, really. He was dying. And got that revelation about faith and got the revelation about what you say. And so now we can go forward that way. But we have to be careful in this camp that we don't think that our confession covers everything. What do I mean by this? Well, go to Romans 8:14. Confession does not make you exempt from following the Holy Ghost. What do I say? You can't just say you want prosperity and believe for prosperity. You can't just say you want healing and speak healing and yet disobey what the Spirit is saying to you and expect to get into that place. They all go together, praise God. The Bible says in Romans 8:14, if we could pull that up, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. So God is leading by the Holy Ghost. To get into what we are confessing for, if you started saying, hey, You learned, my goodness, my tongue is important. My words are important. I need to say the right things. And hopefully you started a couple of weeks ago. And if you haven't, get starting when you get home. Get starting when you wake up. Get starting when you think about it. Start speaking these things over you, because that's how you're going to get to these places. But to get into what we're believing and confessing for, at times it might require following the leading of the Holy Spirit. Amen? We could be confessing for prosperity, which the confession and the confession of faith gets God on the scene, because God is a respecter of faith and God moves in faith. But when God comes on the scene to get you into that prosperity, to get you into that healing, to get you into whatever you're believing God for, it might take you obeying the Spirit and navigating those things. So what I'm trying to say is, we can't just sit back and expect, I'm just going to say prosperity and prosperity is going to come raining down on me. It might come through God telling you to start a business. It might come through God telling you, hey, you got to invest here. It might through God telling you to take a second job or to get a different job or to whatever. That might be the prosperity that comes through. Amen? We'll look at some of these things tonight. So we got to make sure that we don't just sit back and think my words will cover it all and miss out on what the Spirit of God is telling us to get us into those things. I remember, most of you have heard this story, but I'll tell it again, because it's worth repeating in a situation like this where you're confessing for something, and then God says to do something, and when you did that, it lined up with that confession and it came to pass, but without the following or the obeying of the Holy Ghost, you never would have seen what you confessed. You confessed for it all day long, but if you don't obey the Spirit of God, see, God's trying to line up that confession, that manifestation for you, but it comes through at times doing things, amen? Now, there's times, too. At the same token, we're talking about being sensitive to the Holy Ghost if that's what it takes to get into what you need. There's times that you could be believing God for healing, and it gets called out in a service, and you really didn't have to do anything but come up and get your hands laid on you. There's times that you're believing God for prosperity, and someone just absolutely blessed you. Thank God for those times. But there's been plenty of times in my life where I was believing God for something, and then he said, hey, if you want that, this is going to have to be adjusted. You're going to have to go this direction. And then it came to pass what I was saying. Hallelujah. I remember, most people know in this church that I love to deer hunt. It's my archery hunting, bow hunting is one of my favorite things. And I remember walking, it was when Willow was a little puppy, my black lab. I know, I take that back. This was before she came on the scene. This was Wrigley out in the yard. I was just walking Wrigley. And I was over on the corner of our property line, and I thought to myself, you know, I'm tired of hunting around here. You know, New York State, not to get on a soapbox or talk about that kind of stuff, that's not what we're here for. New York State has one of the kind of the worst managed deer programs in the country. You know, they let people shoot 2 bucks, which is terrible. They don't have an antler restriction. You can shoot anything you want. And then they wonder, why don't we have big bucks around here? Well, they're all getting shot when they're young, and guys are shooting 2 of them, unfortunately. Whereas a place like Iowa, and again, I got to be careful, I don't get on my soapbox here. We're not here to hear about the DEC and Iowa's Department of Natural Resources. But whereas in Iowa, but I'm kind of giving you a backdrop to why I'm believing for this. In Iowa, it take, like, for me to get a hunting license there, I have to apply for five years, probably maybe 4 if you're lucky, to get preference points to be able to even hunt 1 season there. And so they have such a few people that can hunt there, and they only let you shoot 1 buck. And so their bucks, of course, they have good food there too, but their management program is out of this world. So I was like, well, I'm tired of hunting around here. You know, if I'm hunting, I want to see the big boys coming through the woods, and it's far and few between around here. And so I said to the Lord, I said, Father, I just got finally revelation that this is stupid. You said you'd give me the desires of my heart. You know, God cares about even the little things. Amen. God cares even about the little things. You know, you said you'd give me the desires of my heart. And Lord, I didn't have that desire to go hunting. I didn't make that up. Like, that was put in me, and I enjoy that. And so I want to hunt the big bucks. And so you said if I, whatsoever I ask in prayer, if I believe, I receive it. And so I said, Father, in the name of Jesus, right here, right now, I'm asking you for a connection to the Midwest where I can go and hunt every year and not have to pay $5,000 to $10,000 to book with an outfitter. And I said, Father, I believe that for that. So I'm going to confess that. So I started waking up every day. Again, I'm confessing for important things for the church too, but you know, we don't have to sacrifice one for the other. Amen? Praise God. And so Anyways, I'm confessing for it every day. I'm waking up, Father, I thank you for connection to the minute. Why? Because he said, I'm going to chart my course. If I want to get there, I got to say it, right? And so every day when it come to my mind or I'd wake up and say it on my confession list, Father, I thank you for a connection to the Midwest to hunt. Well, then it was about the time, this is maybe 3 weeks, 4 weeks later, I needed to get a new bow, and I went to, I look back now, I always got my equipment from a different place. That place shut down, and I was about ready to go to another place where I get a lot of my other hunting stuff, equipment and things like that. I was going to go there, but the Spirit of God in my heart, I had no peace going there. Spirit of God said, hey, call this person, find out where they get their bow. I did, and they told me that this Amish shop down in Panama, go down there and get your bow. Well, I went down there, and I walked in there, and the first time I walked in there, Spirit of God said this to me in my heart, clearly you won't have to look for a bow anywhere else the rest of your life. Praise God. Because this place is just so excellent, and they know what they're talking about, and they really care, and just really good place to go. So anyways, I go there and get ready to get set up with a bow and get to know the owner a little bit. Daniel Burkholder. And his wife and him had their first baby. And I go there a couple weeks later. I can't remember if it was to pick up my arrows or what, if I was just stopping by or something. And I go in, and Daniel's not there, and Marvin, his nephew, says, yeah, you know, their baby was born, but he's having problems and complications, and they're up at Buffalo, it's either Buffalo Children's or Buffalo General Hospital. I can't remember which one it was. My heart just broke, you know, because new baby, you know, and having to be in the hospital like that, just no fun. And so I just felt so bad for him, the compassion of God. And the Spirit of God said, go up and minister to that baby. Go visit them and pour out love to them. Well, see, I didn't know, you know, my brain didn't really work as that good. The fact that how far it was away, they weren't getting a lot of visitors being Amish, you know. They don't have an easy way to get up there. Sometimes it's hard to get people to take them and things like that. And my head started saying, well, yeah, what Amish person's going to let me come lay hands on their kids? You know, they might believe different than us, and this might not go very well, and maybe I'm not getting my bow here the rest of my life. You know, my thoughts were, and then I'll be honest, I was super busy, and I didn't want to go. Just naturally, my heart wanted to help them, but naturally, you know how your heart wants to be here for church, but naturally you got to tell your body to kind of get with it, you know, hey, get dressed, go to church, wake up, go to church, you know, your body might not be, that's the way I was, just like, man, I was busy, and I had all these thoughts, but man, I felt that pressing, and I'll tell you what, after a while, it's just better just when you just obey the Holy Ghost. Amen. So I went and saw them, you know, and they were just flabbergasted that someone that just hardly knew them. And this was before I knew that what they had. I mean, I had no bad motives or agendas. I didn't have a clue what they had available to them. Didn't know at all. This was right at the beginning. That someone that had only met them a couple times would come up and see them. And I did. I went up and saw them, and they let me pray for their baby, praise God. And he's perfectly healthy and whole now. God's so good. And went and took, Daniel and I went for a walk, and I went over to Rite Aid, you know, and it was the closest store, and we bought them some games because, you know, they don't watch television. Bought them some games to play while they're there. Bought them some diapers, just different things, just to bless them, you know, because the compassion of God will bless people. Amen? The love of God. This ain't a brag about Pastor Mike. Without the love of God, I'd be a cheapskate. Praise God. It's just the truth. But the love of God's been shed abroad in my heart by the Holy Ghost. And so if you let that love out, it'll do things for people. It'll bless people. It'll allow you to inconvenience yourself. Amen? And so I went there and did all that for him, and that just blew him away. And Daniel, a few weeks later, said to me, you know, he said, we have a lease in Ohio, and Ohio is quickly becoming one of the best places to whitetail deer hunt in certain parts of Ohio, certain counties that are killing some of the biggest bucks in the country. And he said, you know, we've had a lease there. And he goes, you know all those huge deer on our wall? Those weren't from New York. I thought to myself, well, I wondered where they were from, because, I mean, these things are like TV magazine deer. He said, we got those off our property in Ohio. He said, the driver that normally takes us, the friend that we've become friends with, he's got a different thing going in his life now. He can't do it anymore. He's like, and we get hundreds of offers a year. People come in, they know we're Amish, they know we kill bucks like that, and they try to befriend us to get to hunt on our land because they know we need a ride to get down there. He said, but we just turn people away left and right because we want to hunt with someone we enjoy, someone we like, you know. And so they're telling me all this, and I'm starting to connect the dots in my head, and I'm thinking, wow, wow, it's happening. Praise God. And they said, would you want to do that? And we'll put you on the lease. And so for the last 3 years, I've been hunting on property, and I have seen more giant deer and have encounters with giant deer than I ever had in all the years that I hunted up here. But my point is I was confessing every day, Father, I thank you for a connection to the Midwest. But you know what? That connection didn't just call me up and say, hey, got a spot for you down here in the Midwest. Come hunt. No, it was a connect the dot thing. I had to follow my heart to go to where the archery shop was. Had to follow my heart to go visit them in Buffalo. Praise God. Hallelujah. That's what I'm saying to you. And I want to look at some of these things here tonight. Go to 1 Kings 17. You need to stay sensitive to the Holy Ghost. Because if you're confessing for prosperity, confessing for healing, confessing for different things, it might just fall in your lap, but it might just not fall in your lap. And 1 Kings 17, chapter 1, or verse 1 of chapter 17. And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel lives, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. Now, when Elijah prophesied that, he's just the mouthpiece of God. Elijah didn't make there be a drought. He prophesied what was going to happen. But when he prophesied that, the king there thought, and his wife, Jezebel, they thought that he was responsible for it. So they thought, man, if we can get the prophet off the scene, we can get some rain to come back down. And because droughts don't help economies, droughts don't help people in an agricultural society. And so they're thinking, let's get him off the scene. So Elijah has the whole army, has people out. You know, he's got his face on wanted posters, and they're putting out all points bulletins on him. They're trying to get him. Because that's coming right down from the king. We're going after him. And so he needs a place to hide. Elijah needs a place to go. So there's no doubt Elijah's believing for his life to be spared, right? There's no doubt he's believing, hey, God, I've seen you move before. I'm believing that you're going to spare my life, that you're going to help me through this. But now look at this. Now, some people might think, and Elijah could have thought this, well, I'm God's child, or, you know, spiritually he wasn't God's child, but I'm one of God's servants back then. I'm a prophet of God. I'm doing the will of God, fulfilling God's plan. He could have thought to himself, I'll just stay where I am, and this God will supernaturally protect me. God will supernaturally just help me and anything that comes my way. But we see that his deliverance didn't come that way. How did his deliverance come? And the word of the Lord came unto him saying, get thee hence. Basically, get out of here. So he's believing God for his deliverance, believing God for his protection, believing God for his provision. And God says to him, you need to go do something in order for you to walk into this safety, in order for you to walk into this prosperity, in order for you to walk into this provision. He says, get thee hence, turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. So God's taking care of his hiding place. He says, and it shall be that you shall have drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed you there. So he went and did according to the word of the Lord, for he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan, and the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. So here we see that Elijah was supernaturally spared, supernaturally delivered, supernaturally provided for, everything he was believing God for, but he didn't get it just by sitting in a spot and saying, I'm believing God for this. No, God spoke to him. He was sensitive to the voice of God, and he obeyed the voice of God. Amen. Now, let's even go further. And it came to pass, verse 7, after a while that the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. And the word of the Lord came unto him again, saying, get thee to Zarephath, which belongs to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. Now see, if he would not have been sensitive to the leading and the voice of God, he could have said, no, Lord. What if in the beginning he would have said, go hide by the brook? Where am I going to get food? There are no food trucks down by the brook. There's no fast food places down by the brook. What if he'd have gotten his head? He would have been captured. He would have been killed. Amen. It's just the truth. And then what if he'd have said, no, Lord, I like the brook. No one's been around me. Man, I'm getting room service from the ravens every day. I like it here, Lord. He'd have starved. He would have had food and would have had a drink, and then he'd have probably just gone off to wherever. And what if he'd have said, Lord, a widow woman, what in the world is she going to be able to do for me? But no, he understood. Here he is, standing in a place, believing God for something, and God spoke to him and said, this is how you're going to get into what you're believing me for. Amen?
Amen.
We got to be careful to not get stuck in a place where we had maybe a line of provision coming. We better not get stuck just saying, that's the way it's always going to be. No, God might have to do things a different way. Why? Because there's always people, and there's always things that happen in the earth. But see, God's ways trump what people can do. God's ways trump what the economy can do. God's ways trump what the weather can do. But you might have to do some adjusting yourself to walk into what you're believing for. Imagine if Elijah would say, I'm just believing God for protection. He's a God of protection. I'm just confessing that. I'm going to just stay here. He'd have been in trouble. Hallelujah. I think about back there in the early 2000s, there were just struggling. We were struggling financially, you know, and needed come back from Bible school and needed to, you know, start making some money and things like that. And when the Spirit of God, so here I am. I learned the confession thing. I learned you go to Rhema. Rhema means the spoken word. They're big down there about teaching to speak it because it's huge. It means a lot. It came from, you know, Brother Hagin had that revelation, and that's kind of what their Bible school's founded on, Rhema, the spoken word of God. And so I've been confessing for prosperity. Father, I thank you you're going to meet all my needs. Father, I thank you you're going to provide for me. Father, I thank you more is going to come. Now, what if I'd have just thought, well, the money just going to show up in an envelope in the mail. We're thankful for when that happens, but that hardly ever happens. You ever found that hardly ever happens? Free money just showing up, right? Or people just walking up to you and giving you without doing anything. You know, that we're glad when that happens, but it doesn't happen often. And so the Spirit of God told me, go look in the Post Journal and the classified. So I did. Looked down, and it was like one job jumped off the page at me. And it was that job that I told you about, the after-school coordinator. And I read through, I said, wow, this sounds great. Vacation, never had a job with vacation. Wow, benefits, never had a job with benefits. Wow, salary, never had a salary before. And then I get to the end of it, and it said qualification, bachelor's minimum, master's preferred. I said, well, that ain't for me, because I just had a 2-year education at JCC. You know, that's all that I had had. And I was thankful for that, but that they wanted more in this job. And so I started to look down. The Spirit of God said, no, you apply for that job. And I said to the Lord, out loud, I said, Lord, can you read? Because I knew I heard the Spirit of God. I wasn't trying to be mean. That's just what came out of my mouth because I thought, he must not be able to see this. Get the Lord a better magnifying glass or bifocals because up there, he's not seeing what I'm seeing. I'm like, is my shoulder blocking? What's going on here, Lord? Because that says bachelor's minimum, master's preferred. He says, no, apply for it. Well, again, here I am believing God for prosperity. And the Spirit of God is trying to lead me into prosperity by what I'm saying. See, when I started saying it, that gives God the ability to start moving. How does he move? Through the Holy Ghost. So now he's telling me, apply, apply, apply. What if I'd have just said, it got in my own head and said, nope, I'm going to do this my own way. Lord, I don't want to make a fool of myself. Because that's what I thought. I thought they were going to say, we're not hiring somebody that surely can't even read what we need here. That's what I thought. But I obeyed the Spirit of God, got the job. You've heard that testimony. And it blessed me. Praise God. And it blessed my family. Hallelujah. But what I'm saying is the prosperity didn't just come. God led me into that prosperity. I've had people that desire to be bigger funders to the kingdom of God. They desire, you know, that's a great heart to have. Amen. We ought to not work for a living, but work for a giving. Amen. Praise God. You know, I'm so thankful for people like Brother Hagin and Dr. Dufresne who lived it, and then you saw the fruit of their life in the manifestation of natural things and blessings for them. You know, Dr. Dufresne, his motto was always this: if the church needs carpet, and if we need carpet on our house, guess who's getting the carpet? The church is getting the carpet. Now, he lived that way, putting God first and putting the kingdom first. I mean, he quit his job and built a church for free and ate out of the dumpster that they were leaving the extra food, ate out of that for a while to be able to sustain himself. And then people want to complain when he's got toys and all these big houses and stuff. You don't know what's been sown, what's been done. Amen? So he obeys God. I love having people that have shown us that, hey, When you do it God's way and you go all in with God, you won't regret it and you won't lack. You will not lack. When God leads you to do something big like that or sacrificially give and to sow, you will not lack. And you know, it's a right heart to have a desire to be a funder. We should all here tonight say, I want to be a funder in this end time harvest. I want to be someone that can financially, you know, bring something to the table. Amen? Ladies and gentlemen, let me just say something. If you're only believing God for your needs to be met, you are living on such a low plane. You ought to be believing in God that your needs are met so much, that you have so much in abundance, that I can sow to anything that comes up in the church, anything that needs to be done in the ministry, anything that needs to be done in the kingdom of God. We ought to be believing God for big increase to be big funders. Amen. Amen. What a low view of God to just say, Lord, I just sure would like my bills paid this month. Come on now. I mean, work up in faith, and if that would be a blessing to you, and that'd be the first time that happened, praise God, it's a faith victory, but you want to go farther than that. And there's been people that have desires to be funders, you know, people that really can make headway financially by writing out big checks, and the Bible talks about people, that people will be raised up to do that, but it first starts with somebody's heart. Amen. First starts with somebody's heart. If somebody's heart isn't in it, well, God can't use them. But if somebody's heart's in it, that's why I always tell business owners and people working a job, start working that job and running that business for the purpose of funding the kingdom and watch that thing explode. Amen. Watch God start giving you ideas. If you'll actually be faithful with it to sow it, you watch what God will do. And I've had people that have desired to be funders, and then they don't just sit around and wait for the money, but no, God said, hey, do this in the stock market. Hey, do this with an investment. Hey, do this with your business. And they do it, it turns into prosperity, which turns into being a blessing to the kingdom. But my point was, you can confess all you want. Lord, I desire to be a funder. And that's the right thing, and that's a good heart. I desire to be a funder. I desire to be a funder. But what are you going to do when God says, hey, take that money that you've been setting aside in your savings account and put it into this thing. Take that money that's been sitting in that account and do this with it. Well, that might be the route or the direction that God's getting you to be in a place to be a funder. Because let me tell you something. The people that are big funders to the kingdom of God, their lives are not going unmet. Their needs. In fact, they have more than enough. Their bills are paid. Their debts are paid. They're enjoying life. Praise God. To be a big funder doesn't mean you're going to struggle. That means that not only you are going to be blessed, but the kingdom will be blessed as well. Praise God. What about if the Spirit of God said, I desire prosperity. Prosperity, I want more. I desire to be a funder. I desire to have more for my family, for the kingdom of God. And the Spirit of God says, hey, I know a way to get you into more. Why don't you know that money that you've been so stingy with that's sitting in that account that's just sitting there collecting cobwebs? You know that money that you're sitting there because you're having this. And again, is it wrong to save? No, we ought to be savers. But let's be honest, a lot of people save money out of fear. A lot of people have stashes set aside in case the other shoe falls. We all not live but like that, amen? What if the Holy Ghost, you've been saving and saving, and you got $10,000 in account that you're just keeping there just in case a rainy day comes, and the Spirit of God says, hey, sow that into whatever. And you're believing God to have tens of thousands, 20,000, 30,000 saved, be able to be funder, be able to write checks to the church, be able to write checks to ministers, be able to help bless people. And here you are having that money, and God says, sow that. And you say, oh, I can't do that, can't do that. You can be confessing all you want that you want to be prosperous and be a blessing and be a funder, but are you willing to do and obey the Holy Ghost to get you to that direction? Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Think about, go to 1 Kings 17. This is great right here. 1 Kings 17, verse 9. I remember the Spirit of God told me one time. This was when we were over in the storefront, and we were getting ready to purchase the old sanctuary, and we were looking at it, you know. And I remember we had went through a summer where, I don't know if those of you remember that were here, remember when I sent a letter out for those of you that were here? Because it's like summer came, and it was when we just had moved into the new building, and offerings had dropped lower than when we had started in the storefront. And so I sent a letter out saying, hey, listen, just because God called us to do this doesn't mean we're going to do it unless people are faithful. And so I sent a letter out to people just saying, this is what the Word says. You do what the Word, do what the Word says if you love this place, because this thing will go under if people don't do what the Word says. Amen? And so I remember being over there, and you know, money was kind of tight and things, and And we had, I believe it was 25,000 dollars that we had just to start to build up for a place. And the Spirit of God told me to sow 5,000 of it. Or no, I'm sorry, we had 20 because I sowed 1/4 of it. It was not 1/5, it was 1/4 of it. And so the Spirit of God said, sow 1/4 of that into this offering that came up. Well, I'll tell you what, I had already planned on giving to the offering, but what I had planned on giving to the offering was 1/20 of what we had, which would be $1,000, right? But the Spirit of God said, no, you're going to sow $5,000 into that offering. Well, I'll tell you what, my mind went on tilt, but I know when I hear the voice of the Holy Ghost, and I know God's never trying to take from me. So I wrote out, had a check written out from the account, $5,000, sowed that offering. It wasn't but a few months later. We got 12 times back the amount that we sowed. And it saved the whole thing. Like people that are generous around here, when I tell you, you don't understand what you get, you really don't understand some of the places the church has been, but God's always come through. And he comes through people. That's why we need y'all to be faithful. Amen. Hallelujah. So God will do that. But look at this in 1 Kings 17, verse 9. Arise, get to Zarephath, which belongs to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain you. Verse 10. So he arose and went to Zarephath, and when he came to the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering sticks, and he called to her and said, fetch me, I pray, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, also bring me a morsel of bread in your hand. So he was hungry, because remember, God said, I'm sending you, Elijah, to a woman that's going to take care of you. So he finds the woman, and he's thinking, this is dinner. This is my help, right? This is my provision. That's what God said. So, verse 12, and she said, as the Lord God lives, I don't have a cake, but only a handful of meal in a barrel and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I'm gathering 2 sticks that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. She's in a dire situation. Here's what I love, though. Elijah, when you're a faith person, when God tells you something in his word or in your heart, you don't care what it looks like. You don't care what the natural says. You say, I'm going to walk into whatever God has for me, no matter what's going on. He could have easily said, man, I must have missed it. Or, oh, man, I'm sorry. I love it. He instead of saying, oh, my gosh, don't worry about me, he says, God said, you're my provision, and my God's not a liar. Go get me food. That's what he says in the next verse. Go to verse 13. Elijah said to her, fear not, go and do what you said, but make me one first. Why? God said, you're my provision. I'm not going to let. See, lack will start talking to you. You're believing God for prosperity, and all of a sudden your job takes a hit, or something breaks down in your house and causes you to sow out and pay for those things instead of something coming in. I'll tell you what, lack will start talking to you. Don't you think lack was talking to him here? She has just enough for herself and her son, and she's going to die. And Elijah says, oh, that's enough to feed me. Go make me some. Yeah. I love it. Yeah. People, now you look at it from the wrong perspective and say, oh, that greedy preacher. Come on. I mean, they would have done a 2020 expose on him. I mean, Dateline, MSNBC, they'd have a field day on this greedy preacher who took the woman's last meal. But see, all Elijah was doing was obeying God, trying to get her to obey God, which would get her into more. Amen? Amen. Praise God. And she said, I don't have anything. Verse 13, Elijah said to her, fear not, go and do as you have said, but make me one there first and bring it unto me. And then after, if there's anything left, you make it for you and your son. Oh, listen, God told me, you're my provision, I'm getting it. For thus says the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail until the day the Lord sends rain upon the earth. And she went and did, according to the saying of Elijah, which obviously was the saying of God. God told him, right? People get mad at the preacher a lot of times, but the preacher's just saying what God says, amen? This is the truth. And so that woman, now think about it, you're in that situation, you have one meal left for your family. And the preacher saying, hey, if you'll do this, it's going to multiply. I mean, you think, man, you lost your mind, you know. But she could have said, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do that. But she obeyed the voice of God. Didn't understand it. I didn't understand how going to Buffalo would get me into a property like that. I didn't understand how sowing an offering at the time would absolutely end up causing a harvest to come into this place and save this place. I didn't understand that. But how do you know? Just obey God is best. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. And so she did it. And she and her house, verse 15, she went and did according to St. Elijah. And she and he and her house did eat many days. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which he spoke by Elijah. So this woman, in the same token, could have been sitting there, I don't want to die, Lord. I don't want to die, Lord. I don't die, Lord. And God, to get her prosperity, what did he say? To get you to your increase, you need to sacrificially give. Yeah. So we have biblical precedent. There's more places in the world. We have time to look at all of them. Hallelujah. So you need to be sensitive to the Holy Ghost. What am I saying? If you're confessing for prosperity, don't be surprised if God has you sow a seed that you've never sowed before. Amen. And if you're unwilling to do it, stop confessing for prosperity, because that might be the route to get there. It might not be the route always to get there. A job might be, an investment might be, making a tweaking in your business. Who knows? But be obeying God. Praise God. What about this? You ready to go on here? We're not too far from being done here. What about, go to 2 Kings chapter 5. 2 Kings chapter 5 and verse 8. Now we're going to get on the people that are confessing every day for the healing of their body. Confessing every day for God to take away the pain. Confessing every day from head to toe, they'll be healed and whole. And it was so when Elisha, the man of God, had heard that the king of Israel had rent his or tore his clothes, because the king of Israel, his general, Naaman, came down with leprosy. Wherefore, if you rent your clothes, let him come to me now, and he shall know that there's a prophet in Israel. So Naaman came, verse 9. So Naaman's got sickness in his body, doesn't he? So Naaman came with his horses and his chariot and stood at the door of the house of Elisha. And Elisha sent a messenger on him saying, now, again, you have to understand this, Naaman has leprosy here, and he's the general or the captain of the king's army here. It says, Elisha sent a messenger unto him saying, go. Now remember, Elisha is now the prophet that has the double portion anointing from Elijah. So whatever Elisha's saying is just the voice of God. The prophet was the God's mouthpiece in the Old Testament. Listen to what he says. Go wash in the Jordan 7 times, and your flesh shall come again to you, and you shall be clean. But notice verse 11. Naaman was wroth. Oh, people confess for their healing, but they might not want to do what God speaks to them to do to get to the healing. I'll get on something here in a second, but he said, and you shall be clean. But Naaman was wroth and went away and said, behold, I thought he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and strike his hand over the place and recover the leper. Well, I thought I was confessing for healing. I thought I'd just go about my merry business and the healing would come to me. Not always. Got to be open to the Spirit. Say, what are you talking about? Well, I'll get there in a second. Are not Abana and Farfar? Farpar. It's a good name right there. Rivers of Damascus better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean? So he turned away and went in rage. His servants came near and spoke to him and said, my father, if the prophet had told you to do some great thing, because how hard is it to go dip in the River Jordan? It's easy. If the prophet had told you to do some great thing, wouldn't you have done it? How much rather than when he says, do you wash and be clean? He's basically saying, this is a bonus, man. You got, the prophet said, do something simple. Go do it. Then he went down, dipped in himself Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh came again like that in the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. Oh, now are you ready? Strap up the steel toes. Just feel free to lean down and get them tight, because you don't want them to come off here, because if, man, you get stepped on right now without those things on, it's going to hurt. What about people believing God for healing? Oh, God, I believe you for healing. And the Spirit of God says, you might need to eat something different. You might need to change your diet. You might want to hop on a treadmill or go for a walk and get active. Come on. We can't just eat anyway and treat our bodies anyway and expect to walk in divine health. It's stupidity. We can come up and get hands laid on us and confess it. But if the Spirit of God is saying, hey, lay this down or start doing this, we got to do it. Because if we confess for healing all I want, it's kind of like when Pastor Nancy, I believe it was Pastor Nancy, she went to the doctor and I think she was at the time, it might have been someone she was talking about, I don't know. But anyways, I think I heard it from her. I think it was high blood pressure, and the doctor said, do this, come back and see me in 6 months. She came back in 6 months, they did her blood pressure, and it was perfect. And the doctor was shocked. The doctor said, what in the world did you do? And she said, just what you told me. He said, my God, that's a miracle. Nobody does anything I tell them, right? I'm not saying all the time. Again, this isn't all the time with prosperity, but there are times that our confession is going to take obeying the Spirit of God to get into what we're confessing for. If you're confessing for healing and coming up in healing lines, and yet God's telling you to change your diet, God's telling you to start exercising, God's telling you to put this thing down, and you're not doing it, stop. You can't just expect your confession to trump the disobedience of the Holy Ghost. It doesn't work that way. Praise God. This is called balanced faith teaching. Unbalanced faith teachers say, confess whatever you want, just keep confessing, it'll come to pass. Well, not if you follow the Holy Ghost as well. Don't follow the Holy Ghost, I should say. What about this, just real quick? What about this when we're believing God for miracles, signs and wonders, right? We're believing for that. Well, what happens? I'll just tell on myself. To move into the gifts of the Spirit, it can be scary naturally because the gifts of the Spirit still require the person that's operating the gifts of the Spirit to use faith. What do I mean by that? Well, if God puts something on my heart to call out that some of you are going to come up and get hands laid on, and we've had testimonies here. We had the testimonies of the people seeing spots. Well, that came into my spirit to call that out. Well, I'll tell you what, my head was telling me, that's pretty darn specific for a small church. That's what my head's telling me. You know, you just call out generally eyes, and my God, you're bound to get someone. Just generally, but you start calling out specific things people are dealing with. That's just telling you what the mind of the preacher is. At times, you know. I mean, you go to Joel Osteen's church, you can call it anything. Someone's going to come. Now, you shouldn't do that. You understand what I'm saying? Because there won't be no power. But I'm just saying, on that side, my mind's playing tricks on me. And what if we're believing for miracles for that to happen? What if then I don't ever call that out? Well, the power of God never hits that person. That person never goes home with a miracle that happened to him. It still took a miracle. What about you? We're confessing for miracle signs and wonders. What do you do when your coworker? Here we are, miracle signs and wonders. Use me, Lord, use me. And your coworker comes in, says, I'm dealing with this, and the Spirit of God says, lay your hands on them right now. Oh, I'm not doing that. Oh, but you're believing for miracle signs and wonders, and that was the avenue. See, miracle signs and wonders don't just happen. They take vessels to work through. See how you can confess for things, but you still got to follow the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. I love how Dr. Dufresne, when he first got started, he was praying, Lord, hook me up somewhere. He's part of the squirrel family too, you know, just in a bar, and the Lord said, you're going to go all over the world, preach the gospel. Well, he went to church and needed to be connected. Well, the Spirit of God told him, didn't have hardly any money at the time, go to a meeting in Colorado, you're going to meet three people there. And the people that he met were John Osteen, who was Joel Osteen's daddy, Kenneth Copeland, and Brother Hagin. And he told him specifically, said, now, John Osteen, I believe, if I have it right, John Osteen, I want you to watch his example of pastoring. Kenneth Copeland, I think it was his example on financial teaching. If I remember it right, he said, but Brother Hagin, that's why I sent you here. I want you to put yourself under him and follow that man, and he's got what you need. Well, what if Dr. Dufresne would say, that's not how I want to be blessed. That's not how I want it to come to me. That's going to cost some money. Go all the way to Colorado. I don't want to have to do that. But he did that, and his whole life changed from there. He always would talk about that meeting that he'd go to where John Osteen, Kenneth Copeland, and Brother Hagin were preaching and how that was like set. But it all started here. You can confess all you want. Lord, help me, bless me, set me up, do this for me. And here God puts it right in front of you. If you don't do it, amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. So the point is, when you're confessing for something, be open to the Holy Ghost. Real quick, let's close this. Go to 1 Corinthians 14. I'm going to tell you something that will help you to be sensitive to the Holy Ghost. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 2. For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God, for no man understands him, howbeit in the Spirit he speaks mysteries. If you want to be a person that is sensitive to the things of the Spirit, you're going to have to take time doing spiritual things. And one of the greatest spiritual activities that gives our spirit, because what does the Bible say? Go to verse 15. Go to verse 14. What is tongues? Well, this is what tongues is. For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth. Well, if you want to be led by the Holy Ghost, your spirit's going to have to be alive and in tuned and trained. One of the greatest ways you can stay alive to the Holy Ghost and sensitive to the Holy Spirit and spending time in spiritual places is by spending much time praying in other tongues. Because when you're praying in other tongues, you're giving your spirit the opportunity to exercise. You're giving your spirit the opportunity to take first place. Amen? When you pray in English, you're just giving your mind when you're doing other things. But when you do pray in the Spirit, pray in the Holy Ghost, you're giving yourself a spiritual outlet. Amen? And your flesh will be put under, your mind will be put under, and you'll be more sensitive to the leading of the Holy Ghost. So when he tells you, hey, apply for this job, do this investment. Hey, do this with your money. Give this offering. Hey, put that food down. Hey, start working out. Do this. Make this a small adjustment. I knew of one person that was getting sick eating, and the Lord just simply said, make a small adjustment. Don't eat a certain hot pepper anymore. Don't eat that anymore. And change everything for him. That sensitive to being the Holy Ghost. God knows how to change and tweak everything. Amen? And if you want to be sensitive to hearing God, spend much time praying in tongues. Driving down the road, pray in tongues. In the shower, pray in tongues. Can't sleep at night, you're laying in bed. Pray in tongues. Give your spirit first place. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. So we love confessing. Let's stay confessing, but let's be open to what the Holy Ghost is saying as well. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the word tonight. Well, we got our visitation tonight, didn't we? Praise the Lord. We got our visitation. Father, we thank you. This is how you do things. You call us to come to church and to hear from heaven. You give me a message, and I just say what I believe you're telling me to say. And Lord, we walk out, we do the word, and we'll be changed. So Father, thanks for helping us tonight. We're blessed, and we thank you that you care about us, Father. Even the smallest things, Lord, in the grand scheme of things in life, what's the big deal if I get to hunt in the Midwest? Well, the big deal is you care about me. That's what the big deal is. That's why you made it happen. Well, it's the same thing, Father. We might be believing for things, confessing for things. And Lord, we just need to be sensitive because you're trying to lead us into those things. And the way you lead us into those things, the confession gets it started and gets you on the scene because that's an act of our faith. Father, the way you lead is by the Holy Ghost. So I just pray that people would be doers of the word tonight, that people would walk out of here to be sensitive to the Holy Ghost, to put spiritual things first, to pray in tongues, to be in the Word, to be in praise, to maybe turn the television off, to maybe get quiet with you and spend time developing their spirits. That's the word I was looking for, Father, developing their spirits. Because if our spirits get developed, my goodness, then we can hear from you and be led in what you're doing. Father, how many times people have missed out from what you have for them because they didn't follow the leading of the Holy Ghost. So, Father, we're going to follow the leading of the Holy Ghost, and we're going to walk into everything that we're confessing for. Father, we praise you tonight. With heads bowed and eyes closed, as I look around, I know everybody in here is born again, have accepted Jesus as their Lord and Savior, but there might be someone listening by live stream right now or on the archive in the future. If you're one of those people that say, I don't know that I'd go to heaven if my last day on earth were today. I'd like to go to heaven, of course. I want to have my eternity assured, but I can be honest and say, I don't know if I'd get there. Well, you can be sure. Because the Bible says there's a way to get to heaven, and that way is believing in Jesus and asking him to come into your life. So if you're listening and you say, I want to go to heaven, and I do believe that Jesus was real, that he died and rose again, what's my next step? The only step you have now is just to receive him. All you do is call on his name and say, Lord, I believe you. I believe in you. I believe you died and rose again, and I'm asking you to come into my heart. If you prayed that for the first time, get a hold of us. We'll get you hooked up in a good Bible teaching church. And you'll walk out in a brand new way, praise God, in a new blessing and a new life. And let's just worship God for a second. Father, we love you tonight. Let's all engage in worship. Everybody, hearts and minds in one accord to worship God. Praise the Lord. We love you, Father. We bless you. We honor you. We magnify you. Thank you, Lord, for helping us. Thank you, Lord, for helping us. Is there anything you want to do before we close, Father? We love you. We don't try to make things happen, but Father, we want to give you room so things can happen. We want to give you time so things can happen. And Father, we have such precious people who are willing to just give you first place. We bless you. We love you. We honor you. Anything you want to do, Father, I'll be obedient to my spirit if there is. Is there anything else? Let's just pray and seek him for a minute. Hallelujah. We worship you, Lord. We bless you. We honor you. Oh, we worship you. We praise you. We glorify you. We honor you. We talked about praying in tongues tonight. If you've never prayed in tongues and you want to be filled with the Holy Ghost, you can come forward and we'll lay hands on you and you'll be filled with the Holy Ghost. There's many of us in here that are, but if you are filled with the Holy Ghost and speaking in other tongues, just on my spirit right now, let's just go ahead and lift our voice and pray in tongues for a few minutes. Hallelujah. The Bible says when you pray in tongues, you pray according to the perfect will of God. So I don't pray in tongues. Well, if you come up here, I'll lay hands on you and you open your mouth and you will pray in tongues. Praise God. So I don't know about this tongues business. Well, make sure you get a hold of me. I'll show you what the Bible says about it. It's the second greatest thing that ever happened to me. The first was getting born again. The second was getting filled. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Remember, the Bible says when you pray in an unknown tongue, your spirit's praying. Your mind doesn't know what's being said, so that's okay. Well, I'm going to obey my spirit and just tell you what the Holy Ghost is saying. You can look up here. Had that prompting to pray in the spirit. I had to pray that out what that was. The Spirit of God just said this unto me, to remind the people we need to be praying for our president. There has not been a president in history that has taken the heat like our president takes right now. However you feel about him, the Bible says that we ought to pray for our leaders, praise God. I personally love him, praise God. I lift him up, praise God. I pray for him, but he has taken so much heat no matter what he does. He just gets attacked. You know, the devil's not happy with things. And the Bible says no matter what you feel about him, the Bible says we ought to pray for our leaders because in doing so, we live a quiet, peaceable life, amen? Say, well, I don't like President Trump. Well, that doesn't matter. You like a quiet, peaceable life. You better pray for him. He's your president, praise God. And so, but the Spirit of God said that. We ought to be a church praying for him. I just encourage you, if you could just set aside 5-10 minutes a day just to specifically pray in tongues for President Trump. Just, you know, it's one thing that God wants to do things on the earth, but the church has the power and the authority on the planet, on planet Earth. Just set aside 5-10 minutes, say, Lord, I'm going to pray for President Trump. Holy Spirit, help me to pray out the perfect will of God for President Trump. And then you just start praying in tongues. Praise God. And what you're doing is you're making power available for our president. Praise the Lord. I believe that he was put in office for this time, that there's an appointed time and season. He was raised up. I believe America needed a cowboy in there. Praise God. That doesn't care what the world thinks. It doesn't care what not affected by all the money in Washington and stuff. Just someone that's going to go in there and do the job. Does it mean he's perfect? No. In fact, some of the things he says, my goodness, makes me shrivel. I say, oh, what's President Trump saying now? My goodness. If anything, it's entertaining. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. But I believe that he's in there for a season and he's God's man. And so we need to lift him up. Amen. And pray for him. So take that seriously. The Holy Ghost put that on my spirit to tell you that. And so let's take that serious. Spend a little bit of time each day praying for our president and we'll be a church that's making power for him. Amen. Father, we love you tonight. We praise you. I don't have anything else in my heart. So, Father, we're going to unhook right there. But thank you for what we've been given tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. We'll see you Sunday at 10. You're dismissed.